Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
Well, hello, everybody. We're back on EB5 Investment Voice. And in the last podcast episode, we've discussed the whole issue of CBI, citizenship by investment, what is a hub. And today we intend to continue with this same topic.
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, Mona and I, this is Rebecca, by the way. So we travel a lot overseas. And every time we go overseas, we see, you know, not just the U.S. market out there, but now we're seeing the global market.
I don't think we're seeing it now. I think it's been there for a long time. It's much more mature, really.
Exactly.
Than people think. Yes.
Yeah. So we've seen Cyprus, we've seen Malta, we've seen now the Caribbean. Everyone's out there. And today with us, we have BLS Media. They're here to discuss more about the global market and about their event that's taking place in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Because no one is better than people who are already in the field. And with BLS Global being situated in London, again, right in the hub, one of the hubs, Rebecca, right?
Yes, yes.
So welcome, BLS Global. We have Nigel, we have Sam.
Yeah, hi, Mona. Hi, Rebecca. This is Nigel.
Hi, everyone. This is Sam, and I'm delighted to be back on again.
Great. And you're calling from sunny old London?
Yes, Mona. We do now and then do get the wonderful sun in London. It's not always, the sun doesn't always come up in New York. As you know, London is the place to be. We've had the wonderful royal wedding, and it's actually the location to be at the moment.
Why would you say that, Sam? Because we've often, Rebecca and I did talk a lot about London being a hub in our last episode. But we do get this confusion from people who think, well, you know, no, we need to go to somewhere like India, or we need to go to somewhere like UAE to find investors or for people for this market, for the EB5 market. Why London?
That's a very sensible question, Mona. You know, London has been seen as the financial hub in Europe. It's a wonderful location where East kind of meets West in that sense from a financial point of view. And London seems to be the safe territory for a number of businesses, high net worth individuals that would like to discuss on neutral grounds on how they can move forward in regards to migration applications. So London is actually a fantastic location in that sense for broker dealers, networking, and sometimes London is actually a great location to finalize a deal. And it's surprising when I hear people making comments, why is London seen as the hub? Destination-wise, it's a fantastic location, has all the top hotels. It's actually the best place to potentially seal a deal for people in the migration industry.
Well, that's true. And I think, Rebecca, we've commented in the past that because of the Commonwealth, there are a lot of countries and a lot of citizens from other countries who are comfortable and they easily have access to London.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you know, even with, you said best hotels and whatnot, at least, you know, flights are easy to get in and out of there. And I mean, being part of that, there was, 50-something Commonwealth countries out there.
No, exactly. And like this year, London hosted CHOGM, which is the Commonwealth Heads of Government meetings. Mm-hmm. We've had all the Commonwealth ministers actually attend London, very successful event. You know, we're only 4 hours ahead of Dubai, 4 hours behind you guys, and the timing really works in that sense. You know, we get to do our work in between 9 to 5 o'clock, and London is a great location when it comes to timing wise for you know, the Asia Pacific market.
Well, CBI, citizenship by investment, what's your background in that?
Okay, I'm glad you asked, Mona. Since the last podcast, CBI Magazine and CBI as a brand is recognized as market leaders. You know, we're recognized to be the leading media platform organization providing free content for high net worth individuals and families that really want to do a comparison when it comes to making a decision for global citizenship. This could be from deciding to buy a second passport for the Caribbean EB5 program. It could be for the tier one for UK. It could be for Malta, Cyprus. Now, there's a lot of countries that are actually promoting the various citizenship and residency program. But CBI seems to be the one-stop shop solution in that sense to educate applicants to do a comparison which actual citizenship program is the best and suitable not just for them, but also for their families.
Interestingly, when Rebecca and I travel, we especially come some of the places that we go to, often the United States really is not represented. And we see many representatives from other citizenship by investment countries. What have you noticed? Because you boys have been out in this industry for a long time. You know, the United States have really had their own little, they've been in their own shell. They've been really hiding away in China, perhaps, and countries. And there's only a handful of us who've ventured out.
That's right, Myrna. You're completely right. You know, the question again is the US EB5 industry has been predominantly targeting China. Now I'm seeing organizations such as yourself being in Dubai, in Oman, in Qatar, in Turkey, because China, we know what the situation with China. So people from Cyprus and Malta have been targeting, Africa and emerging markets within the Middle East. And CBI has been around in those locations for many years. And we just don't focus on China. And I think it's critical for people in the EB5 industry to be targeting new investment for EB5 outside of the Chinese market. And to be honest, CBI is a platform for this.
Nigel, you have spoken to many of the EB5 stakeholders and many of the EB5 developers and regional centers. What's your take on the understanding by the EB5 market for the rest of the world?
Well, the EB5 market is, in my opinion, it's one of the best programs to go through. It's a program where investors can put their money into the programs and the projects that are available, and they'll end up getting their green card and they'll get their money back. But there are other programs out there that people are looking at. The Brits, though, in particular, are more interested in looking to the United States. And the reason for that is a lot of them didn't want Brexit. A lot of them were concerned about that, and they're looking for second passports. A lot of them are actually applying to Ireland as well now for an EU passport. And, you know, the UK, there's been a lot of inquiries from the UK, from the high net worth individuals within the UK, as to what this EB5 program is all about and how they go about investing in America.
You know, Mona, I just want to give an example of Roman Abramovich. It's been all over the press and papers. You know, Roman Abramovich wanted to apply for the British passport. The process is taking too long.
Well, Roman's from Russia. He's a Russian national, right? Yes.
The process is taking too long. So they need something which is fast track. And he's actually, the rumor is he's gone for an Israeli passport. So high net worth individuals don't have the time. They really want the fast track option. Hence why they do sometimes choose a number of the Caribbean citizenship programs, because it is a donation to the government for a fast track, up to 3 months for a fast track second passport.
Well, true. But, the United States is still the United States, and it still is one of the most popular countries. However, both of you, what is the appetite for people really to continue to come to the United States, given the unpopularity of Trump in the UK?
I don't think that puts people off at all. I think it's the American dream that they look for.
Yeah, I agree.
If you look at it sensibly, with the United States, the education system is superb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the families want to make sure that their kids get a good education. Mm-hmm. America is one of the leading countries in the world for that. Mm-hmm. And that's always an attraction. Then also there's the projects that are out there. Mm.
I think, Mona, you know, when we do represent ourselves at international events and conferences, when we do meet investors directly, that what attracts them to the United States is mainly because of the education for their kids and the security for their family. You know, they're looking at EB5 and the US from a long-term point of view. And unfortunately, US it still ranks as the top universities ahead of the UK, and education is one of the biggest factors.
Well, I wouldn't say it's ahead necessarily, Sam. It's just the fact that it's bigger. I mean, the UK really just is the size of Florida. So we cannot really compare. And obviously, being bigger, there are more universities. And yes, it does have, well, maybe it is ahead in that respect.
Yes.
We're still patriotic. I think that's the problem here. Once a Brit, always a Brit. So Brexit, I know, Nigel, you've touched on this. Has it really made a difference? And is it going to make a difference moving forward as London being, you know, the center of the world, really?
I think it will. I think London will remain. I remember when Frankfurt, they wanted to be the financial capital of Europe. And I remember there was a lot of talk about that some time back. And, you know, they just didn't succeed. London, you know, will always be the financial capital of the world. You know, I think we've always been ahead of Europe. That will continue. I think there's a lot of panic at the moment. There's a lot of things going on.
Patriotic there.
Well, yeah, I am patriotic. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of things happening. we don't know what the government.
I'm sure the Germans have a different view. but to be fair, Mona, you know, since Brexit, the Brits are actually really much looking out for second citizenship passports. And looking at the alternative options in reducing the tax burdens, you know, global mobility is a very catchy, trendy subject to a lot of high net worth individuals. And you know, the Brits are really looking at the U.S. market because they feel very comfortable, very similar in that nature of
way of life.
Standard of living.
Yeah.
And we're actually seeing a lot of inquiries and comments regarding the EB5 program, especially for Brits or, you know, British people that have an aspiration to potentially go to the US and live the American dream or eventually enter into the Hollywood industry. So there is actually a good number of interests and applications that are coming from the UK.
Well, global mobility and tax are two different things. I mean, for tax purposes, I think the Malta program was one of the top programs because they gave such a huge tax break. Yeah, and I don't think anybody wants to come to the United States for our tax benefits, but it's certainly when it comes to quality of life, that's a different story. With global mobility, though, don't you get as much global mobility with Caribbean passports?
Yes, you do. A number of the Caribbean passports have a number of visa-free travel to many destinations, that there is a huge advantage. But again, the advantage of the Caribbean is, again, there's no tax on worldwide income, inheritance, capital gains, or investment returns. But again, people look at, when they make a decision for their families, they're actually making that decision not just for themselves, but also for their families and their dependents. Hence why when they narrow and do the comparison of the cost, you could be looking at a cost of nearly $500,000 US dollars when it comes to making a decision for a family of four. So that's why the EB5, when they do the comparison, the EB5 does stand out when it's only still at the moment of being 500,000.
Right. Yes, I've heard this several times, actually, because it's almost 400,000 for a family of four for Grenada. If you go with a project,
you don't get your money back either.
Well, there is still the risk element with EB5. There's obviously a low chance of you getting your money back when it comes to the Caribbean. But there's obviously a very good chance because you're investing in a development. And when we've looked at the programs that's been running for over 5 years, St. Kitts and Nevis has. But we haven't been able to identify any investor at the moment so far that's been able to get their investment level back, you know, for the investment that they've made. However, there's new schemes out there to reassure investors that they will buy back their shares or their investment.
Well, this is a good question. This segues to a really good point, Sam. I know we're going to talk a little bit about the event in London that you have, but there are CBI is such a huge business. It's a lot of money involved, high net worth individuals involved. How do you vet the companies that you allow to come into your exhibitions, etc.?
Mona, that is a fantastic question, and I absolutely love that question. You're right. We do not want people that actually cause a lot of harm to this industry to be exhibiting. We do want people to be at this event that look at this immigration industry long term. You know, it is not a short term, quick bucks industry. we want people to be, you know, with us for a very long time and also in the industry. So the way we vet, you know, potential exhibitors, we look at their company profile, success rate when it comes to applications, the filing process, you know, and also their branding. You know, we really do our due diligence when it comes to the paperwork and if an investor signs in. So there's actually a lot of screening and process that goes behind the scenes before we allow anybody to just exhibit. Because end of day, Mona, we are an ambassador for this industry. We're targeting families. We're targeting high net worth individuals to come to these events to actually source the best of the best when it comes to making a decision for migration.
Yes, but Sam, how do you do your due diligence on the participants?
Okay, so I do want Nigel to have a few words. So Nigel, perhaps you'd like to add a few comments when it comes to due diligence, especially for the EB5, and I will expand on citizenship industry.
I mean, Mona, a lot of it, you know, the industry is quite a small industry. And with regards to the industry, we like to make sure that these organisations, say regional centres, for example, they're quite crucial in many ways. You know, there's been some horrible things that have happened for Chinese investors in the past. And we don't want to fall into that trap where we've got a regional centre involved with us and they're not a good one. So we'd like to work with IIUSA, who are the trade association for all of the regional centres. And we speak to people within the industry. We find out who these people are. We make inquiries. We are very keen to ensure that the right people get involved. You can't always tell. Sometimes, you know, you might get one or two that will slip through the net.
Generally speaking, Nigel, have you turned anybody away?
Yes. Yes, we have.
Yes, we have, Mona.
We have Mona. I don't want to say who they are.
We can't.
No, we can't say that. But we have. Yeah. And basically, we've done it for the right reasons. Mona, we started off working with the Arab British Chamber of Commerce, and we've been working with them since the year 2000. The bottom line with them is it's all built on trust. And we have to be very particular about the people that we work with, because if they come into our publications and come to our exhibitions, they're deemed to be trustworthy, and that's on the back of the trust that we've built over these years. So we have to be really sensible about who we work with.
Simona, BLS Global has a lot of affiliations and connections with a lot of trade bodies, as Nigel's given you one example, IIUSA. We also work with the Arab British Chamber of Commerce, the Federation of Gulf Chamber of Commerce, Law Society, on a number of diverse fronts. So we have a reputation, and we want to make sure we keep that great reputation, and we only vet or allow sponsors or exhibitors that we feel comfortable or have actually passed the due diligence process, which is heavily dependent on a lot of our trade bodies.
So Sam, it seems that, you know, you guys have a lot of due diligence because, you know, the EB5 program in itself is a smaller program, but, you know, you are worldwide. You know, you have people coming from the Caribbean, you have people coming from Malta, Cyprus, Portugal. So it seems that you have to conduct a lot of due diligence on all these other programs as well.
Yes, Rebecca, that's completely right. You know, due diligence has a major impact in the industry, and recently, Malta put together the first ever conference in relation to just due diligence itself. Identity Malta and the Malta program has been under a lot of the spotlight recently, and they're trying to be seen as thought leaders when it comes to due diligence and, you know, making sure that they actually just don't allow any investor to come into the country, that those investors will only boost the economy and develop the country. So yes, due diligence is a key part of BLS's makeup, and due diligence is actually a major topic and subject that we will be outlining and discussing at the Global Investment Immigration Summit taking place in London. We're going to be discussing how latest technology and innovation helps to improve due diligence, so we're not just allowing anybody to take advantage of the programs. You know, we're, end of the day, these programs are built to develop the economy and also grow the economy, but having the right skill sets and the right individuals and the right families for these programs.
Oh, well said. Sam, but which are your target markets? Are you specifically going for certain markets out there, or do you just basically just throw it out for anybody?
No, you know, we specialize in markets where we see a huge rise and demand for global citizenship or migration. Mona, India, Middle East, 22 Arab states, Africa, Turkey, Russia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, the list just goes on. These are markets that some of them are quite familiar with the various immigration citizenship programs, but there's certain markets that are not so much aware of the program, and it's only fair organizations like IAUSA or trade bodies representing the EB5 industry or BLS representing the CBI to educate this market that, you know, a part of your investment could lead to migration and citizenship.
Sam, we get asked all the time, because Rebecca and I do travel so much, and people ask us, how do you know what is a good conference? And we often say that, well, for us, we always look at what the media marketing is. And I would say the same to you. How would you be able to, because there are conferences going on all the time, and there's conferences in every country, in all the hubs. How would somebody who's coming into this market, maybe they're new, they're looking for investors, how do they know which conference to go to?
You're completely right, Mona. You know, there's so many conferences out there that are representing this industry, and people are heavily dependent on the organizers to make sure they deliver a good event. One of the key factors you have to look at is obviously the conference program, the caliber of sponsors and speakers. You know, for London, Mona, you're a host sponsor for the event.
Yes.
As everyone knows, exactly. And they have to look at the caliber of speakers and sponsors. They also have to look at the marketing that's going to be carried out by the event organizers. BLS has been constantly been marketing and promoting the event, either be through its internal database, but also we do campaigning through, you know, display billboards adverts, by TV promotions. You know, we have broadcasting partners like MATV. We advertise on the national newspapers and local magazines. So we allocate a huge chunk of the budgets to make sure we have B2B as well as B2C.
Right. I believe you're also out in some of the major Russian newspapers also.
Yeah, so you're right. You know, like Kommersant, which is very well recognized for Russia.
Yeah, we saw Kommersant in every hotel in Russia, Moscow.
So they're one of the media partners. So, you know, we promote a lot through those. You know, and I know Russia's, there's a lot of turbulence at the moment, especially the diplomats being removed from the UK. The Russians are really considering a lot of the options, and we've just given Roman Abramovich as an example.
You know, right.
So, yeah, so, you know, we are using the leading newspapers, magazines, you know, Evening Standard, Metro, which is pretty much throughout the whole transportation network throughout London. So, you know, we are getting the messages out, but we also partner with a lot of embassies and ambassadors that really actually, you know, echo and, you know, spread the word of our event. So we do a lot of campaigning, and a lot of budget gets allocated actually to make sure our sponsors and our speakers and our exhibitors actually get value for money. You know, for our event in London, we're pleased to announce the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda would be making a speech. You know, His Honourable Gaston Brown would be a keynote speaker. So that just gives you the, you know, an indication of how far we have grown as an organisation, and actually being recognised as one of the leading platforms when it comes to educating people on residency and citizenship.
Wow, that sounds great. The Global Investment Immigration Summit sounds like a great conference to go to in sunny London. Well, I know it's going to be sunny because it's June. You picked a good time frame, June 21st, 22nd. I spent a couple summers in London myself, and everyone's told me, be thankful you're there in the summer. So perfect timing for that. You know, we explored how London is a hub and why it's a hub. So I'm glad we didn't have to go through that again. And I really want to focus on the Global Investment Immigration Summit. You've acknowledged you've been doing a lot of marketing, and I'll even toss in perhaps a podcast episode or two, right? Thanks for coming on, by the way. But, you know, I want to talk to the people that are going to the Global Investment Immigration Summit for the first time. These are the first people, the first attendees. You've already talked about all the hard work you have put into making sure that everyone gets the value for their money. But for these first-time people, the people that are going there for the first time, how do they accelerate that? What are the few things that they can do, say, the moment their shoes hit the ground or the moment they walk through the conference doors? What can the new people do to make sure that they get the most out of the conference?
Well, what we do and what we have done in the past, especially there was an event that we had in Abu Dhabi, and there was a U.S. pavilion. We had our stand at the very beginning of the entrance. People were coming to us. And we had a team of five people, and we were steering people over to the US pavilion. Especially in the Arab states, you have to be very discreet because they don't always want people knowing what they're looking for insofar as a passport or a residency or a citizenship elsewhere. You know, you have to be careful on that. But we took people to the stands. And there was one time I was with an Arab gentleman and I had to walk around the pavilion twice because everyone was so busy. Because we make sure that enough traffic gets to the booths so that our sponsors get return on their investment and value for money. We're very proactive.
So, Mark, the important factor for a lot of, you know, we have two elements here. One, from an exhibitor's and a sponsor's point of view. Mm-hmm. From an exhibitor's point, a sponsor's point of view, they want to make sure that they engage with potentially new brokers and agents to represent their development to increase sales. And a number of them want to actually meet an investor directly. And that's what we're able to do with our events, you know, B2B. As well as B2C, you know, engage with new brokers and agents, and as well as potentially deal with investors. Some developers don't want to deal with investors directly. It's too much of a headache, too much work. So they allocate this work to a number of brokers and agents. So how we find our events to be successful is actually, you know, sponsors and exhibitors saying, we actually got value for this event, you know, for what we spent, because we understand time is money. You're allocating time outside office, you're spending money on having an exhibition booth, to actually say, yes, Sam, you know, it was a wonderful event. We actually got a ROI, a return on investment. But what's also important, Mark, is getting the feedback from the visitors. You know, they want to meet the best of the best and the most recognized organization that can actually make sure, you know, their application or the process for the migration process is smooth as possible and they're looked after. So they really want the elite, the people that view this industry on a, from a long-term point of view, to be there. So they want the best organizations to be exhibiting. They want to make sure they've gained a knowledge when it comes to comparing the various citizenship program and obviously making sure they make the right decision. As long as it's marketed correctly and people do make sure it's a smooth operation, the investors do go for the exhibitors or the sponsors exhibiting our event. So we want to please, of course, the sponsors, exhibitors, but we also want to please the visitors and the delegates coming to these events.
Right. So let's help the visitors and the delegates that are coming to this event. I'm going to ask you both the same question. So if you can both give me a short answer, both Sam and Nigel. If you were an attendee and you were to walk up to one of the exhibitors or one of the sponsors, what one question would you ask them?
What are the best projects for me to invest in for my family? Which area would be the best place for me to go to if I wanted to go to the United States?
Oh, that's good.
I think, Mark, because we do a lot of pre-marketing, they know in advance.
No. I want to answer. You've been talking all about BLS Media. Now, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the attendee. You're walking up to the sponsor and exhibitor. What one question would you ask them?
What is your success rate when it comes to making an application for your program?
Oh, that's good. That's good. Go direct. And I like that direct approach because at the Global Investment Immigration Summit, as you mentioned, you get to walk up and meet these brokers and meet the exhibitors and sponsors, and you can have those direct things. So,
well, we have more than just that, Mark. We are we having seminars, separate seminars, which Rebecca and I will be hosting.
Of course.
Where we speak, we have a panel and we speak, and we also address people's issues and needs within the EB5 context, immigration context, of course.
I'm glad you jumped in, Mona.
Mark, we left the best of the best. We have a boat cruise. You get to go on a sunny day in London, one of those wonderful boats where you get to see the iconic locations of London.
This sounds like a setup of a bad joke. What do you do on a sunny day in London? Well, BLS Global rents a boat and takes everybody out that day, that one day. And I imagine that day is going to be both June 21st and 22nd. Well, Mona, I'm glad you jumped in because I know you and Rebecca will be there and we'll be speaking. But there's also going to be some podcasting going on, right?
Absolutely.
Let's hear about it.
Well, yes, we are having a podcast booth. This time we couldn't drag you, Mark, over there, but next time perhaps. And in the podcast booth, we intend to have some wonderful interviews, also interesting interviews.
Yeah, so we do also invite any and everyone to come by, and we want to hear other questions as well. So maybe we can have other future podcasts and answer those questions.
Exactly, because we're looking at feedback. So it's not just about the interviewees and the experts in the field. We're also looking for the ordinary investor and the person to give us their feedback of not only in the industry and how people are doing and how BLS are doing, but questions as well.
That's right. So we hope you can make it to the Global Investment Immigration Summit. Again, you can ask these direct questions. You can also get your voice heard, perhaps, on EB5 Investment Voice. And unfortunately, I realize that the summit is next week to the drop of this episode, perhaps by the time you listen to it. Again, that's June 21st, 22nd, 2018. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast way in the future, you missed it this year, but chances are they're probably going to have it again next year. And if you have missed it, it sounds like there's going to be some questions and some podcasts, a couple of interviews and snippets that may show up on future episodes. Well, Nigel Coyne, and of course, Sam Hussein, thank you, Sam, for coming back on EB5 Investment Voice. Ramona, Rebecca, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.